morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I feel happy this morning. I had a lovely holiday. And I think I'm ringing a little bit. Sorry, Helen, I'm a bit loud. That's me. Welcome to everybody. Welcome to those that have come in later, because I'm sure there's some more to come. Let's pray. Lord and Father, we just bless and praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. For the privilege of this church being able to slowly to open up as usual. And we praise you for that, Lord. Please, Lord, bless each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit this morning, that will be inspired and touched by your special love. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd actually like to start with a Bible reading this morning. And it's from Psalm 46, verses 1 to 7. That's who we have. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Trust me to see pages. Our first hymn is, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Now please forgive me this morning, because it's the same me jumping up and down. I've actually recorded everything. So hopefully it'll work. To the earth in the last days, all shown in Revelations. And the psalmist was obviously given these words by the Spirit of God, bringing it forward all those years before. And when I actually looked at that, when I was actually get preparing, I was actually amazed. I just thought, this is really wonderful. This chap really did know God. He was listening to him. Now, during the service this morning, Rose is going to share with us the second half, and she's going to share it on two types of baptism. But before she does, I'd just like to explain something of our background within the church. We used to come from the Church of England, and one church we went to, the minister wouldn't perform baptisms of babies. Now, of course, this caused few problems, and Rose and I were given the job of going to visit all these families who wanted their child done. Have you heard this expression?
Yes.
I want my child done. So what we used to do, we used to go and see them and tell them what baptism really was. The first thing is, the Church of England actually makes the godparents and parents actually make certain promises. Now, these promises are quite difficult to keep, and that's the first thing we used to explain to them, that you are making promises to your child. And are you sure you want to make these promises? And of course, when you start challenging people, they start, well, what's the alternative? And the alternative is what I think we do here. We have a little blessing service for children, and which enables people to make their own decision when they get a bit older, to be, whether they want to be baptised or not, and why they're being baptised. And we did this for many years and spoke to so many people, and so many people actually came to the church and stayed because they'd had what baptism was explained to them properly. We used to find that grandmother says, well, when we used to go and meet the whole family, sometimes we'd go and there'd be about 14 of them there. It's quite in the house. It's quite embarrassing at times. And of course, grandmother says, "I want this child done, just in case." In case of what? All children belong to Jesus, don't they? He's promised that he's got a special place in heaven for them. Doesn't matter what happens. So, anyway, I won't go any further on that because it's Rose's. Rose is saying what she's going to talk about. Now we're going to sing two choruses together. The first one is Jesus, What a Beautiful Name, and in moments like these. I think these are very apt songs. They're very beautiful songs. And I do hope you're going to join with me in singing. You may stand if you want to. You can sit if you want to.
Jesus,
Like this, it's a very special moment, a very special moment of where we meet with Jesus. The Jesus was a beautiful name we were singing, and then in the special moments like these, we're actually singing praise to Him because we really love Him because He is our Savior. Could we have the prayer box up, please? Not sure, I think I put it on. I didn't, right, not to worry. I wasn't sure what to put on it, so I've actually printed it here, which was on the actual list. Lord and Father, we just thank and praise You that we can bring our prayers and supplications to You, knowing that You hear us and answer everything we bring to You, not always in the way we want, but in the way that is right. Lord, we just lift to You the following people. We're suffering a bit at the moment. There'll be others that are in our hearts. And just in this moment of quietness, we just lift them to You, Lord, that You will bless them, heal them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we lift to those who are suffering bereavement at the moment through loss of loved ones, It's so hard when we lose something, Lord. It leaves a big hole in our heart. And each and every one, Lord, are really suffering bereavement at the moment. That hole in their heart, Lord, we pray earnestly that you have filled them with your love. Bless them, Lord. Let them feel your arms around their shoulders. Lord, many years ago when I suffered bereavement, you put your arms around my shoulders and I really felt them. And when I actually had to tell my children that their mother had died, you gave me the words to say. And it was such a wonderful feeling, Lord, that your love surrounded me. And I bless you for that. And in the same way, those that are suffering bereavement now, I ask you to bless them. Thank you. Let's pray for this violent world, Lord. As for the psalmist, and in the book of Revelations, in the last days, Lord, war and strife will follow, will come, Lord, and it will be terrible. And it's actually happening now, and I don't know if it's the last days or not, Lord, but it would be lovely to see you actually come and join us, Lord, and take you into your kingdom. So, Lord, we pray for those countries where there's lots of strife. There's still war in Syria, Lord. There's terrible wars in Yemen, Somalia, Ethiopia, and various other places over Africa, Lord. The problems of strife all over the world are happening. We pray, Lord, for the people of Afghanistan. We're going to have a tremendous change in their lives. And Lord, though the rulers do not know you, we pray, Lord, you will speak into their hearts, that they will make a fair and just government, Lord, which is fair to all, including the women and children, Lord. There's places in the world now where there's so many children are suffering. In Yemen, where there's millions of children suffering in hunger, and also now in Afghanistan. Please, Lord, stretch out your hands upon yourself. Bring justice and peace, a fairness, Lord, an end to hunger, an end to war, Lord. We just pray to you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Right, we're going to have our first reading now, which is from Matthew 3, verses 11 to 17. And Riker's going to do it, and I'm going to give her a microphone. Good one.
Matthew 3, 11 to 17. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. Soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.
just as I hand over to Rose, we're going to sing another chorus. It's one of my favourites, actually. It's called Wind, Wind.
Service at her church. Later that night, the daughter took all of her dolls with her into the bath. As she dunked each doll under the water, she recited these words: "I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and now hold your nose." She obviously took notes of the service, even if she didn't quite understand. When we are baptized, though, we must be 100% certain of what we are doing. Jesus was baptized in the beginning of his ministry, tells us this in Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan. Actually, we just read that one, haven't we?
Yeah.
I don't need to read that again, do I? And if you want to hear it again, you want to hear it again? Oh, well, then Jesus might work harder, don't you? That's what it is. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so. Now it is proper for me to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Jesus also ended his ministry with a command for his disciples to go out and preach the word and baptize the nations. And the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Then he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus' ministry only lasted about 3 years, and it only started after he was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. Jesus had travelled 75 miles to the place where John was preaching and baptising to fulfil this act. Jesus didn't need to be baptised. He was without sin. And John, knowing Jesus did not need to repent, was reluctant to do it. But Jesus, who knew God's purpose in his life, insisted. John then baptised him gladly. John was baptizing the people for the forgiveness of their sins. But Jesus later was baptized with the Holy Spirit, as he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. The heavens opened and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Jesus had been dedicated at the temple when he was 8 weeks old, as per the Jewish custom. But being baptized, he affirmed his commitment to the will of God, what God was asking him to do. Baptism is mentioned a lot in the Bible. I tried to find out how many times it was mentioned, but as with many things in the Bible, there's some conflicting information. But needless to say, as it's mentioned at least 70 times, it's very important for us to obey it and be baptised ourselves. But baptism alone cannot get us into heaven. It must come with a belief in Jesus Christ, the asking of forgiveness of sins, and a commitment to God. As Baptists, we are firm believers in baptism. It's an important event, but not just because it's what Baptists believe, but it's what the Bible tells us to do. Baptism, then, is an outward confession of our inner faith. It shows other people that we believe and trust in Jesus, and we are willing to follow him and all he's teaching. It's a very firm commitment to the will of God. Baptism should take place as soon as possible after someone has been given their life to Christ, after repentance of our sins, and after our salvation. All during Jesus' ministry, after he had finished preaching to the people, his disciples baptized them. Jesus himself did not baptize. It was only his disciples. After Paul's blinded on the road to Damascus, Ananias said to Paul, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name. Paul was told to be baptized after repentance to wash away his sin. This is what we must do when we are baptized again after repentance. We are washed clean by our sins, washed clean by the blood of Christ. Then we can start our lives anew with Christ's Spirit within us. Hallelujah. Another example of someone being baptized in the New Testament is in Acts 8, when Philip was sent by an angel to speak to an Ethiopian eunuch who was trying to understand the scriptures. After explaining the scriptures to him, he told him the good news about Jesus. The eunuch then expressed a desire to be baptized so that he may be complete. Sorry. I need your water to get baptized. Which Philip did in the nearest water. There are many examples in the Bible of people being baptized in water, as Jesus was baptized, followed by many, many others. It shows us that it's very important for us to be baptized, washed clean, and outwardly show our people, other people, our inner beliefs. After this, we'll have a break, we'll have a song, and then we'll come back to part two. We're now going to sing, I Want to Walk with Jesus Christ. And after you give your life to Christ, after you've repented and come to him, that's what you want to do. You want to walk with Jesus Christ.
To walk with Jesus Christ all the days I live on this life on earth, to live to him, complete control of body and of soul. Follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King of Kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him. To speak to him, to pray to him, confess my sin, to open my life and let him in, for joy will then be mine. Follow him, yield your life to him, he has conquered death, he is King of Kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him. I want to learn to speak of him. My life must show that he lives with me. My deeds, my thoughts, my words must speak of his love for me. Follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King of Kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who give their lives to him. I want to learn to read his word, for this is how I know the way to live my life as it pleases him, in holiness and joy. Follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King of Kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him. O Holy Spirit of the Lord, now into this heart of mine, take full control of my selfish will and make it wholly thine. Follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King of Kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him.
We're now going to have our second Bible reading, which I think Peter's going to do.
Yes, he is.
John 12, yes.
Something else.
Yeah.
That's it.
We thought it was going to be a husband and wife team.
Yes.
The reading is taken from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. And it says, "Now there's a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish rural council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.' And Jesus replied, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everybody born of the Spirit.'"
Thank you, Peter. Now, part two is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We spoke earlier about the importance of being baptized with water after you've given our lives to Christ. Now we're going to hear about being born again. Nicodemus acknowledged that God was working with Jesus and wanted to know more. Jesus told him he must be born again. And that's very confusing, because how can you be born again? When you're already born, maybe. Quite some of us, quite old behaviours. But the term being born again means giving up your old life and seeking to live a new one in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a new beginning between God and us. It's letting the Holy Spirit transform our hearts from indifference and hostility towards God to a love of him and a desire for righteousness and holiness. God has made this easy for us to do by just accepting Jesus as our Saviour and repenting of our sins and receiving his Spirit into our lives. By doing this, we can be born again after we are repented and then baptised with water. God's Spirit is within us. When the Bible refers to the baptism of the Spirit, it can be a separate occurrence. In Acts 19:2-6, and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptised?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is the Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied." This shows us there is more than one kind of baptism. These Christians have been saved and baptized with water, but hadn't received the Holy Spirit. After Paul laid his hands on them and prayed, they were filled with power and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I won't go into that because there's a whole sermon on its own. Another time. In Acts 8:14-20, it's another example of being baptised separately. "When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptised in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." This again refers to there being more than one baptism. In the name of Jesus, Peter and John prayed for Samaria, and they received the Holy Spirit. There are many other times in the Bible when the Holy Spirit is mentioned separately from the first commandments of Christ. God's gift of the Holy Spirit is as much a promise to us today as it was to the believers then. It brings back a, you know, putting in, talking about being Church of England. Mike and I, a couple of times, used to ride our bikes to church, and we used to have Jesus Loves You stickers on our jackets and on our bikes. As we come out of the church after service one day, the curate says to us, "Don't go talking about the Holy Spirit." Well, he didn't say like that voice, that's mine. He's a bit posher than me. "Don't go talking about the Holy Spirit." He said, "It's not relevant today, that all happened years ago, it doesn't happen there." Needless to say, we didn't actually stay at that church very long because it made it very difficult. We hadn't even spoken to anybody about it at all. It was just that he'd seen it on us, and obviously he'd had a pang of conscience about it. And why didn't he want to say anything? But it is just as relevant today as it was years ago. The disciples needed the Holy Spirit to do God's work, as they were when they were sacked at Pentecost by the power of the Holy Spirit. Being sacked a good thing. How much more do we then, in feeling of this, to help us through our difficult times? We must seek this wonderful blessing. We must seek the Lord with a humble heart and ask to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. We can trust God to show us the truth. We must have an open mind and heart, also a willingness to obey him. In Luke 24:49 and Acts 1:4, Jesus commanded the disciples not to go anywhere until they had received the Holy Spirit. I think this tells us the importance of the baptism, firstly believing and trusting in Christ, repenting of our sins, being completely immersed in the water to show others that we believe. We then should seek the full baptism in the Holy Spirit. This comes to us all in different ways, but in a wonderful way. If you want to know more about being baptised in water, please see Helen, our minister. She'll be happy to speak to you, won't you, Helen?
Yeah.
Is that the back there? Is anybody who don't know Helen? Also, if you have been baptised and would like to know about baptism in the Holy Spirit, please speak again to Helen or one of the deacons. Really, Mark at two ends of those seats there are deacons, and Mike and myself are deacons. So if you have any more further queries, please speak to one or other of them. And if you have been baptised in the Holy Spirit, then hallelujah. And I know that if you have, then you'll know that when you have, you will feel the Spirit of the Lord in your heart and you will want to dance like David danced. And I've lost a shoe, that's it. This, by the way, is the final hymn for those young ladies who would like to go and do a wonderful job of making teas and coffees. It's just started again this week, so we're not quite with it.
This gets faster.
Is within my heart, I will sing as David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord is within my heart, I will sing as David sang. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing as David sang. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing as David sang. The Spirit of the Lord is within my heart, I will clap as David clapped. When the Spirit of the Lord is within my heart, I will clap as David clapped. I will clap, I will clap, I will clap as David clapped. I will clap, I will clap, I will clap as David clapped. When the Spirit is within my heart, I will dance as David danced. When
Now it's time for our final prayers. I think I'd like to do the Lord's Prayer now. Do this verse. Any version that you would like. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. And Lord, we just praise you for this day. We praise you that you'll give us sunshine again. And pray that you'll be with us, Lord, as we go home. That we'll continue to praise and worship you in all that we say and do. We just thank you, Lord. Amen. And we'll end now with the grace. We share with each other.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
As I said before, the same coffee will be served. You will have to go outside and collect it.
But at the moment, they can't use that now. Yeah. It's not available.